listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is your host for the most, Nikki Kalula. We're going to jump right into this episode. We have a very special guest, dancer choreographer Colleen Melwisch. How are you, Colleen?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you for having me.
No worries. Thanks for being on Wake Up Hollywood. And your nickname is Coco, so I may reference you as Coco or Colleen, depending. Yep. But let's go back to the very first moment that you wanted to be a dancer. Do you remember the moment that made you want to dance? Was it something you saw? Was it a song you heard? Was it someone you saw? Tell me about that moment of zen that made you want to become a dancer.
Yeah, so it was very early, so I don't remember the first moment, but I was actually 2 years old.
Wow.
And I used to watch the Nutcracker, the New York City Ballet version on VHS, just obsessively.
Wow.
And just from watching that, I told my mom that I wanted to start dancing. And so she tried to put me in ballet when I was two, and the teachers said, no, she's too young.
Because of the focus or what?
Yeah, because of the focus. A lot of ballet schools don't like two-year-olds because they're still a little bit spacey.
Right.
They're not like completely aware of what's going on. And so usually you take them at like three or four.
Wow.
And so my mom's like, no, but she was the one that told me that she wants to dance. And so the teacher took me aside and she said, okay, listen, we'll try to have you take a class and you're going to listen to everything I say and you're going to do everything I say. And if you don't listen, then I'm going to fire you.
Wow. Wow, so just told a two-year-old that?
Yeah, yeah. And that's so crazy. From very early on, I took dance very seriously. It was like all business.
You must have had big eyes just like looking up at the adult like, okay.
Yeah, yeah. But I was like the most focused kid in the class because of that. And then as I got a little bit older, like 5 or 6 years old, I started watching Cats on Broadway.
That's one of my favorite shows. That was one of the first
shows
I saw.
Yeah, yeah. And again, like I became just obsessed with musical theater. And so my dream was to be Victoria, the white cat in Cats. Every time people would ask me, what do you want to be when you grow up? I would say, I want to be the white cat in Cats the Musical on Broadway.
Well, what's cool about that is that was the first show I ever saw.
Oh, really?
I was really bummed when the movie came out because I was so excited. And when I saw how bad it was like, you should have just filmed the actual musical. That would have been way better than what they ended up releasing, because the musical is so good and the show, the costumes, and they messed it up. It was just so bad, but I still love that show. It has a special place in my heart, and I love that that was like an influence for you. Did you take to the lessons at 2 years old? Did you kind of feel like there was a discipline right away that you were able to focus, or was it like really hard to kind of like just get in line with the other students, because that's such a young age to start anything?
Yeah. So I started in a combo class, which is like ballet, jazz, tap all together.
Wow.
So you'd have like the class would be divided into segments of these different styles. And so I like barely remember the jazz and tap portion, but I do remember being at the bar in ballet class. So that was kind of my thing. I was very focused on the ballet portion.
Wow. So you kind of were drawn to that? Was that the art form that first got you into it, like really into it?
Yeah, yeah. I think probably because of my personality, I was very shy, very quiet. And so something about the discipline of ballet really kind of worked with my personality.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And then I kind of stopped for a few years because I got really bad asthma, and that kind of like affected my ability to perform, to dance. So then when I, the asthma got a little bit better when I was like 9 or so, I went back into ballet and I just did that like till I was 18.
Wow. And that's, yeah. You know, what's hard about that is it's such a regal form of dance, and it's what one of the most classical forms of dance. So the technique is, it reigns supreme. It is all about technique more than anything. And that's, you know, I came from opera. So like opera and ballet, I see as very parallel art forms, because it's all about the technique. It's all about honoring the form, the art form. And it's very regimented in, you have to know all the exact things that it are the principles of it. And there's not really a lot of room to kind of like interpret, or I guess the biggest way is also to say there's a great way to express in it, which is what I love about it. But it's such a classic art form that there's not a lot of reinvention. Or would you think that there is more reinvention now that there's so many different dancers that are getting, you know, like Misty Copeland is one of the famous new ballerinas. So how would you say the art form has changed, and how do you think it's been preserved over time?
Yeah. I haven't seen personally a lot of new ballets. I mean, they're there. I just haven't seen them.
Right.
But even then, when you're creating a new ballet, everything is very much like from the original, like ballet vocabulary. Like, it's not like people are creating new steps necessarily,
right?
Which is good and bad. I remember once when I was younger in my ballet class, for the first time ever, one of my teachers at the end said, "Okay, now we're going to improv."
You're like, what?
And you don't do that in ballet.
Right, right.
And we all had like no clue what we were doing. And so now thinking back on that, it's funny because I've done so much more improv in other styles.
Right.
But yeah, I think now things are starting to change a little bit more now that people are doing more like contemporary and modern dance. Some of these other styles are starting to influence ballet a bit.
Well, it's also cool too, because you see like hip hop being infused with it. You see like these cross pollinations of, you know, art forms coming together that are so contrasting that it kind of breathes some new life in it. They're doing that with opera too. It's not so much hip hop, but it's more like modern art or costuming that brings some of that. I also want to ask you, when we first met and I saw your last name, I have some family in England that have the same last name, Melwish.
Oh.
So I had to ask you, do you know what the origins of your name is? They spell it with an extra L, and I believe that's the only difference. But I have never seen another Melwish in all my life. So I just had to ask you, what do you know what the origins are of your last name by chance?
Okay. So I know it's an old English Saxon name, and there's something about, because part of our family heritage is that we're part Scotch-Irish.
Okay.
And so there's something about, like during the Dark Ages, the Scots immigrating to Ireland. So I don't know if that's part of it, but I do know that Melhuish, the meaning of it is field of many flowers.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's awesome. So, give me chills. That's beautiful.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think my dad has mentioned something about like the area that they were living in.
My dad's sister married an Englishman named Melwish. So all my first cousins have that name, and now they've been, you know, they've married. So he was the only one that kept the name, but that's how we know that name. And I've never met another. How did you say it? You said it differently than how we say it.
So we're not sure, to be completely honest. So awesome. I've always said Melhuish.
Melhuish.
But okay. Apparently my grandfather used to say it Melhuish with the emphasis at the Mel.
Okay. We say Melwish. But, like, we don't know. That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean.
No, I had to ask. My mom even called me. She said, "Oh my God, do you think there's like a parallel?" I said, "I don't know. I remember telling her that when we first met, because she asked who the guest was." So she's listening. So that question was for her.
Oh,
but
cool.
Let me ask you this now. So like, you're 18, you start experimenting with other dance forms. Now, to be a high school kid and still be dedicated to ballet, that's not as trendy as hip hop, jazz, modern, tap. Did you start to diversify in how you were experimenting and expressing in the art form, or did you kind of stay loyal and true to ballet and just want to kind of like get very technically proficient in that?
Yeah. So to be honest, I ended up taking a tiny break from ballet at the end of high school. My ballet was just sort of taking so much time away from my studies.
Right.
That my parents like were not happy about it. And so they're kind of like, let's keep focusing on school. And then if things get better, then you can go back to ballet. And that was like my whole life at that point. So wow. I was pretty devastated. But
imagine.
Yeah. I had been auditioning for professional ballet companies before that. And I kind of wasn't getting anything. And some of my teachers had kind of mentioned around that time too, that part of it might have been something to do with my height.
Right.
Because I kind of want like a certain body type, a certain height, and I didn't quite fit what ballet companies want. And so my parents were kind of like, this probably just isn't for you, you know?
That's crazy.
And so I took a little break and just got to do all the normal high school things, going to school dances, hanging out with friends that I never got to do before. And then when I started going to college, that was kind of when I started other styles.
And you went to Cal State Long Beach and you majored in dance, right?
I did. But before that, I went to community college, actually, in Riverside.
Okay.
And I was an undeclared major at first, but I didn't want to go anywhere that didn't have a dance program.
Smart.
And so,
I'm going to make sure wherever I land, there's going to be a dance program.
Yeah, I was kind of like, just in case, that's where I end up.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And so, yeah, I went in kind of very much declaring to everyone that I was a ballet dancer. But then for our shows and stuff, choreographers kind of wanted me, and they were all in modern and contemporary and jazz styles.
Right.
And so I was like, okay, everyone's doing this, so I gotta learn. And so yeah, that it just kind of pulled me in. I just sucked up as much as I could from all of these other dancers and teachers and other styles, and just kind of wanted to be as proficient as I could so that I looked good standing next to these amazing dancers.
Right. Well, let's take a moment to show you off and show your reel. We're going to play your dancer's reel. Here is Colleen Melwish's dancing reel.
Ek ho gaye hum aur tum, to ud gayi nindere. Ek ho gaye hum aur tum, to ud gayi nindere. Aur khan ki payal masti mein to kangan.
जो दे तू इजाजत सबर भी अब करने लगा बगावत सुल्फे हैं जालिम और आंखें हैं आफत लगता है होने वाली है कयामत मत तड़पा ऐसे तू न करना इंसाफी जो गलती करने वाला हूं मैं उसके लिए पहले से ही मांगता हूं माफी
जैसा ये बदन जन्म मिला तुमको, मन में सोचा था जैसा रूप फिर आया नजर हमको।
सितम खुली खुली सनम खुली खुली बाहें करती रही हूँ, अभी तुमने जो करे लगाया तो खो ही करे हूँ।
So awesome. Wow. First of all, I love that you have this Bollywood influence now. Tell me how that opened a new realm for you as a dancer and how you got involved in that community.
Yeah, it's interesting because I feel like most of my professional career has actually been Bollywood now.
Wow.
Which I would have never imagined. I definitely always thought that I was going to be like a professional ballet dancer, or be like in a contemporary company. But yeah, it got started because after I graduated from college, I was pretty burnt out on dance.
Right.
And it had become
natural.
Yeah.
You study it just like you want to be done with it as soon as you're done with it.
Yeah, it had become so academic,
right?
That I just kind of like lost the joy of dance. And so I was kind of searching. Yeah, I was kind of searching for something that would make me feel something again, like excited again to dance. And so I had actually first picked up swing dancing just for fun, trying out social dance. And that was great. But I really wanted to get back to performing. And so, me and my friend had already been planning to take a trip to India to see some friends. And I just happened to have some free tickets to this Bollywood musical at Segerstrom Center in Orange County.
Wow.
And so I said, hey, want to go to this free show? She said, sure, why not? We went, and like the very first opening song, I just got chills.
Wow.
And I looked over at her and I was like, wow. And so I just thought, like, from that moment, I don't know how, but I got to figure out how to do that. And so I just kind of began a search after that, just looking up all of the Bollywood companies in LA, just like any classes I could take, anything to figure out how to get involved with that.
And, you know, let's make this very clear. You're of Filipino and Scottish, Irish, English descent. So,
Yes. Like
being drawn to this art form, it's not in your culture. It's outside of your culture. What do you think about it made you so, like, you know, it, like, in what about it just woke up the soul in you, you think?
I think it's just the joy. I feel like a lot of Indian dance, it's just all about the joy of dance and celebration. And there's so many Indian holidays, or they're dancing at all of the festivals.
Yes.
And I think I just needed that, something that would just be dancing for the joy of dance and not having to make it, not having to analyze every little thing about every movement and figure out what does it mean, and, you know, just having fun with it.
Well, you know, it's
felt like it was
too.
So beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It's such a beautiful art form. In some ways, it kind of parallels hula in the way that it expresses with so much hand movement. But the difference with Indian classical dance that I love is so much more decorative than most dance forms. They're wearing bangles. They're wearing beautiful outfits. There's, like, you know, crazy stitching or colors or whatever. But honestly, when Michael Jackson put a Bollywood dancer in the Black or White video, that's when it made it for me like, wow, this is like crossing into pop culture, which you don't see Indian classical music crossing over into an American culture, because I've always seen it in Bollywood films, Bollywood music videos. So like seeing one of the world's greatest pop stars incorporated, I was like, wow, this is such an incredible art form. And I love that you were drawn to it, not even being in the culture, because it made me it made me proud of like the culture of it. You know what I mean? Because, you know, when you're coming to America, or like you're trying to integrate in American society, you're trying to like, okay, yeah, this is a strange part of the world. And you know, there are all these customs and traditions. But then when you see it incorporated with somebody that's like so big like that, then it becomes normalized, you know, to so many kids and, you know, pop culture in general and media. And I love that you were drawn to this. How did you even get these tickets? Like, what even motivated you to just go to see the show?
Yeah, I was actually working at Segerstrom Center at the time.
Okay.
I worked for American Ballet Theater. I was in administration with them. And I was also working on my teaching certification with them. And so I would sometimes just get like discounted or free tickets to any of the shows that came through. And that's so that was one of the free ones. And so
because we were already... It's an amazing concert hall.
Yeah, because we were already planning a trip to go to India. I had like no idea of anything about Indian culture. And so that was actually like my very first like exposure to Indian culture.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, I was just interested because it said that it was a musical. I didn't know, like, does this mean that there's live singing? Is it just dance? Like, what does this look like? I never seen a Bollywood film.
Wow.
And I was just very curious.
And so did you go to India and study there by any chance? Did you kind of seek out any kind of classes or anything? Or was it just kind of like, I want to go and enjoy the culture and the country and just see what I can come away with?
Yeah. So we were only there for 2 weeks, I believe. And so I was looking for classes when I went there. I couldn't really find any at that time because we were busy doing things with friends. And so there wasn't like a lot of time to look for that type of stuff. But while we were there, one of the ladies that I had met, she apparently that day had been stopped by someone who said, would you like to be an extra in a Bollywood film?
Wow.
And she had thought of me, but I was with her at the time. And so they weren't able to get a hold of me, but I was like, oh, that would have been so cool to just jump into this film.
Hell yeah. That would have been amazing. That's
what
a story that would have been. So where did you go in India out of curiosity? Do you remember where you traveled?
Just Mumbai.
Oh, okay. Well, that's that's where all the action is. That's where all the craziness is.
I would have liked to travel more and sort of explore more, but we were just there for the time being. But I think one of the things too that made me curious is I had so many people when I was there ask me if I was Indian.
Wow.
And so I was kind of like, oh, that's interesting, because I had never thought of myself as looking Indian before. I guess I had a different of what Indians look like.
Right, right.
And so that was kind of the first time that I was like, if I'm getting mistaken for being Indian, like, maybe there's something there. Like, maybe I should learn some of the language. Maybe I should try to figure out the dance thing. Like, maybe, you know, it kind of planted a seed in my head.
So now that you're out of school and you started kind of traveling and kind of taking in some of the customs of Indian culture and Bollywood, what happens after you finish school and you're starting to, you get asked to choreograph a piece back at Cal State Long Beach? Tell me how you maneuvered that, because that's a huge step. Once you get out of school, you're like, I don't want to study the thing that I studied. I don't want to do the thing that I studied. I had the same kind of connection with opera. And as soon as I was done with school, I was like, I'm done with performing opera. It killed it for me. I want to do something completely different. So what was the catalyst for you to kind of get things moving in this direction besides this show and after this show and after the trip? What were the steps you took to kind of get involved in the community?
Yeah, so the piece that I choreographed at Cal State Long Beach was when I was a senior.
Okay.
And so it was the first BFA student choreographed show that they've ever had, I believe, at that school. And so it was kind of open for people to submit proposals. Any of the BFA students could do it. And so I submitted, and they picked 4 people in the dance department to choreograph. And so that was the biggest undertaking at the time that I had ever
done.
And yeah, and so we all had like teachers mentoring us through the process, because there were a lot of elements. The composition for the piece, they wanted them to be all original compositions. And so we worked with the composition grad students on doing the music for all of that. And then there was also like lighting that we had input for, and like set design and costumes. They created the costumes specifically for our pieces.
Wow.
That's cool. like by hand, like we had a costume designer for it. So there are a lot of elements.
So it was like becoming its own troupe, basically, right?
Yeah. Just for this one show. But it was several months, I feel like, that we were involved in this process. Then after graduation, when I was burnt out, I kind of stopped all of the choreographing for a while. And I just went into teaching. And so I just taught for a few years. And it got to the point where I noticed I was getting jealous.
Wow. Of
the students that I was teaching, because I was preparing them for their recitals and whatnot. And I was like, they get to perform and I don't even get to perform. And so I was like, when you start getting jealous of the kids you're teaching, like, that's probably a sign to take a step back.
Well, it's also like, you know, it awakens that part of you that you're like, oh, I'm gonna hang this up for a little bit and I'll just teach. And then as soon as you start teaching, you're like, it awakens that part of you that's like, you know, I also have gotten it to a level. Why would I stop now and just keep things moving? So I love that you have that awakening moment for you, you know?
Yeah. Even my boss at the time, we were watching from the wings, watching the kids perform. And she was asking me like, so where are you performing right now? And I was like, oh, I'm not performing. I'm just teaching. And she asked, how old are you? And she goes, yeah, you should be performing.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, okay. I need to get on that.
Well, let's show another clip. What do you want to showcase next?
I guess since we've been talking about it, you could do the Confinement Quandary, the CSULB piece.
Yeah, here's Confinement Quandary.
Thank you.
That was intense. That was awesome. That was the confinement quandary. It yes. sounded like I missed the end, so I want to make sure it's in there. Tell me what the inspiration was. I saw flares of Bob Fosse and then flares of modern dance. Tell me, like, how you infuse those, because I definitely saw some really cool stuff happening.
Yeah, I think for the movement, I was still kind of trying to figure out my style at that point. And so I still very much had this whole ballet thing happening. But then the dance department at Cal State Long Beach really was kind of like equal ballet and modern to create right. this like contemporary aesthetic. And the mentor also that was helping me through this process was very modern. Like she likes to do a lot of floor work and stuff like that. And so I kind of felt like I had to match their aesthetic. Right. And so I was kind of pushing for more of this modern dance thing, but also trying to keep my ballet identity within that.
That's awesome. Well, it was just beautiful. And tell me what the inspiration or what was the storyline that you were kind of painting with this piece.
Yeah. I think I was struggling at the time, kind of trying to fit the mold of what people wanted me to be, and me feeling like I wasn't that. Like people were trying to put me in a box.
Right.
And so that was the kind of idea with the door frame. We kind of played around with different things that we could do with it. Like, could we use it sort of as if it's a mirror, like dancers looking at themselves in the mirror?
Right.
Could we use it like as a door walking through it? So that's kind of the idea of like having them walk that's through clever. It, leaning on its side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Very cool. When you choreograph, like what goes into it? Because I know nothing about like, okay, when you're thinking about moves, it is a vocabulary. You are making an expression. You are making phrases like a musician makes phrases. Tell me what that step-wise process is for you as a choreographer.
I think it's a little different every time, depending on what the project is. So for that one, it was a little tough because I had no music to go off of.
Oh, wow.
Because it was original. So the composer was creating the music for the movement I had already made. And so I think what I had done was I picked some piece of music that I already liked, and I was kind of choreographing to that piece. And then after the music was composed that we would use, then we kind of switched over to the other music, and then we adjusted the movement based on that.
Wow, that's crazy. It's like you had to switch it all up. Like that's not how musicians work at all. It's like saying, all right, we're going to play this form, and then we're going to completely change the form altogether and just try and make it work. Like, so yeah. a little bit was, I'm sure, kind of like, oh, this move wouldn't work here. Did you have to eliminate certain things, or did you just kind of have to like shape it differently so that different things were in different orders?
It's a little bit of everything. Right. I think for that one, a lot of it was changing the timing of things.
Right.
And then we'll usually create like in sections. Like when I first choreograph, I'll kind of have like one phrase of choreography that comes to me. And I'm like, okay, we're going to use this. This will be like the main chunk.
Right.
And then I kind of develop other phrases. So then we have like large sections, and I'll kind of name them different things just so the dancers know what it is. Like,
right.
Be like, okay, this is the box section. This is the circle section. I don't know. And so I think for that one, we had to sort of rearrange the sections in ways that made sense with the music.
That's cool. I wanted to ask too, like, who are your influences as far as dancers or choreographers that you really draw from or you are constantly inspired by?
It's funny because I've gotten this question a lot recently and I really don't know.
You're like, I have no idea.
I don't know. Yeah, I think when I was like in high school, I used to always watch So You Think You Can Dance.
Right.
And
right.
So that I think that was during the time too where I wasn't dancing very much when I was taking my little break. And I used to just think like, oh my gosh, I want to be like these dancers. I want to be able to do all these other styles. And so I feel like those people were kind of like my inspiration at the time.
That's cool.
But I think now that I have sort of a diverse background in dance styles, I'm kind of not really sure
right.
who my inspirations are right now.
Well, it's like you have the Hoff siblings, you know, Derek Hoff and Juliana Hoff, who kind of made dancing become super popular again. And then you have, for me, it's always Michael Jackson. Like, I will find myself mm-hmm. watching him doing like dance breakdowns and still like marveling at like, nobody can do this. This is just it's still unbelievably timeless, and still nobody, I mean, you can see anybody dancing like Michael Jackson, it doesn't come close to him. Like, it never does. And so he's one person that I'm like, okay, this is on a level that you just don't see as much. Prince was also a great dancer. Both those guys were just marvels at their craft and just amazing dancers. But, you know, I watched, you know, this show on Fosse, and it really made me like respect what he did for the craft and what he did for cabaret and shows, and bringing in like a whole new element to kind of make it something different. And then there's also Gregory Hines and all the tap side of it, and there's jazz. Like, did you kind of gravitate towards any certain, like maybe sometime you'd see somebody that was great at tap and it'd make you want to tap, and then you see somebody great at jazz and make you want to dance jazz? Like, did you have these inspirations that led you to these different dance forms?
Yeah. As you were saying that, something just popped into my head. I love the dancing in White Christmas.
Yeah.
And every time I watch it, Vera Ellen, she was a ballet dancer, and I just think she's amazing.
That's awesome.
In that movie. Awesome. Yeah. Also Gene Kelly, I love.
Yeah. He's the best. One of the best.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Hey, what's cool is I saw a Prince tribute, and Misty Copeland did this whole thing to Prince music. And I was like, wow, this is, you know, when you see people dance, first of all, nothing brings a musician more joy than seeing people dancing to music, because mm-hmm. it's like why we make music and see those expressions kind of married together. It's just so awesome. It's really the best, especially when I'm playing with a full band, when I see people in the crowd dancing. That just brings me joy. It makes me want to dance, you know? So it's like one of the things that music and dancers have in common. But, you know, when you see performers in a movie, especially those old movies where there's like dance troupes doing all this crazy stuff and they're doing live takes. I mean, it just makes you want to be in a big dance ensemble of some sort. Mm-hmm. So does it inspire you to choreograph in those classic ways? Or do you kind of want to break free from that and do something that nobody's ever seen?
I think I'm trying to do something new.
Cool.
Lately, what I've been trying to do, because I'd like to get back to choreographing more. Most of my choreography lately has been more just for like dance recitals. And so I'm trying to get back into like choreographing for like festivals and things like that. And
you're doing music videos too. You definitely should be doing music videos.
Yeah. And so I think I'm trying to figure out how to mesh other styles with ballet. And it's, I mean, people have tried it, but I think I'm trying to do something new with it. And I'm not quite exactly sure, but like keeping the integrity of ballet, but figuring out ways to incorporate other things. The most recent thing I choreographed actually was an attempt at doing that. And I used in a South Asian song and tried to like incorporate a few sort of like nods to Indian culture in there, but like choreographing it as a ballet. And so I think I'd like to do more of that. I've even thought about like, hey, what would it look like to mesh like swing dancing with ballet? Is that even a thing? I don't know, but
I mean, that's what it needs to. It needs to kind of like take two different art forms and create a new hybrid. I think that's where, you're going to gravitate towards seeing both art forms taking notice, you know? So It's not happening enough. So I love that you're thinking about that. What do you want to showcase next? What's the next clip we got?
The next one is that one that I was just talking about with the South Asian song. So this is Pasuri, and I did it at Inland Empire Dance Festival.
All right, here's Pasuri. Awesome. I love that you incorporated Bollywood music with ballet. Tell me what the inspiration behind that was.
Yes. So Pasuri is the language that it's in is a Punjabi and Urdu. And so it's kind of like a little bit of a mesh of cultures. And I believe that it was recorded during like 2020 lockdown from the research I've done. And so they kind of wrote it as a love song, but kind of with a deeper meaning of sort of longing for something that's so far away. And it kind of talks about like my lover, he never came, and there's like distance between us and things like that. And so it's yeah, kind of a longing for something, and it's about struggle and love at the same time. And so when I heard it, I just felt like I really related to that.
Yeah.
And so I originally wanted it with more dancers, actually. I wanted like three couples, and for it to be kind of like the individual struggles of the couples, but then having sort of a universal, like, we're all in this together sort of message.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, but I couldn't find enough dancers for that. So I kind of last minute had to switch the concept to be more of like a love triangle situation.
Was that a little frustrating that you wanted more people to be a part of it, and you're like, I can't get the numbers. Let's trim it. Let's try and get it to where it needs to be.
Yes. Yes.
How did you make that adjustment?
Yeah, it's funny because I feel like it's the easiest dance I've ever choreographed, but like the most difficult to actually make happen.
Right.
So the thing is, like, the really good ballet dancers, they're all off doing their thing in ballet companies in like New York and stuff, right? And so I feel like in LA, the ballet dancers aren't really so much to that level, because they're kind of more focused on like industry dancing and other styles. So it was really difficult to find people that I thought could pull off what I had imagined in my head. And so I had like looked everywhere, asked everyone, and I wasn't getting a lot of responses from people. And so I was just kind of like, okay, this person.
Yes.
Let's just make it happen. Yeah. Whatever it is what it is. But yeah, it's
beautiful.
It was pretty frustrating.
It's beautiful. And sometimes there's more power and less, you know what I mean? Less is more, you know, and sometimes it works out that way. It was, you didn't gain anything by having, I mean, you didn't lose anything by having less people. I think the story was told, and it's beautiful. There's a documentary. I actually had the director on this show, and he made a documentary that you need to watch. It's called Beyond Moving. I'm going to send it to you. It's about an African kid that learns ballet in the townships of South Africa. And he ends up, you know, learning to dance in, like, he's like one of the top dancers in Canada. It's a true story. It's unbelievable. I think when I first met you, I told you about it. How do you think ballet can translate to more impoverished neighborhoods, impoverished societies, because it is such a high art form where there needs money and training and all of this stuff. Because the reason I ask is I watched this movie, and like the title, it was beyond moving to see this kid dancing with very little means and dancing better than kids that had all the, you know, ability. And he's now in, you know, a professional ballerina and, you know, a professional ballet dancer. So it made me think, like, how do you think the art form can be taught in, you know, in ghettos and impoverished neighborhoods and, you know, third world countries? How do you think that can be spread to people? Do you think it's tech? Do you think it's YouTube? Do you think there's a way for it to, because I think seeing that, it made me think there's a possibility that there's a lot more dancers in the world than we think, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it is hard with ballet because of the origins of ballet, you know, is created for nobility. And so it wasn't a thing for a long time that was accessible to people. And I think it's starting to be more accessible, but it still in a way is not. Yeah, that's hard because
it's got to change though. We have to change it somehow because, you know, it just showed me this movie. You would never think a kid in the townships, and there were two brothers that learned different, you know, ages, but they learned together, and now they're professional ballet dancers in Canada and touring and performing and making a living doing this, where nobody would have thought that these two kids in South Africa would ever have a chance at this art form, you know. And this company sponsored these kids to come over to Canada to learn because they saw that they had immense talent. It's like, I just feel like there's got to be some way that there's schools, or, you know, maybe it should be taught in more public schools or something, mm-hmm. so that the appreciation is there. Because I think it's some, with art, it's all about exposure. It's like people don't know what it's all about until they're exposed to it. So yeah. I love that you're kind of bringing a new voice to it and incorporating it with other styles of music. Do you feel like, you know, other cultures or, you know, schools are limited to their, you know, their accessibility to it? Like, what do you think could be a change for that?
Yeah. Well,
that's a big question.
Yeah. Well, I think one thing about ballet, especially with boys doing ballet, is, you know, there's this idea of what kind of person you are if you do ballet. Right. And like, right. even me, I remember when I was younger, I was in the Nutcracker, and I think I had shown like a video or something to one of my classmates, and then he was like, oh, is that hard? And I was like, yeah, it's hard. I just did a big leap and all these turns right. across the stage. Of course it's hard. And he's like, oh, I thought with ballet, you just kind of like run around and jump and leap.
You just kind of,
you're just like, kind of frolic around.
You're like, no,
I didn't know it was hard.
Right. And it's like, so, hard on the toes and the feet. Yes.
Yeah. And it's also like a very expensive thing to be involved in.
Right.
Like, you have to buy your leotard and tights and your shoes, especially if you go on to point. Point is very expensive. Those shoes are right. like hundreds of dollars, and you go through them very quickly. Also, like, teachers always expect your hair to be like in a slicked back bun, and I know if, like, even the kids that I taught, that would be like such a difficult thing because the parents like don't know how to adequately prepare their dancers right. for right. the standards that we have. And so yeah, but these other styles in schools are very much like hip-hop. You don't need to buy anything to right. to do hip-hop. Yeah,
you dance know? On the street. That's what was cool. Yeah. Like, even you dancing in that one scene where you're dancing in the hills, it's like a great dancer doesn't need anything other than just an area to express. And it could be anywhere. Right. So that's what's cool about you showcasing some of that. I was just curious because ballet is such a beautiful art form, and seeing, I'm going to send this movie to you. You're going to love it, but it's like kind of like that same thing, that exposure can lead to more people creating this art form, perpetuating the life of it, because that's really what it's about. My last question for you is, where can people find you if they want to find you to have you choreograph or dance in their next music video, project, concert, festival, etc.?
Okay, yeah. So a couple ways. My Instagram is at @MissColleen_ ColleeN. And I also have a website, and that's CMELH9. Wait, let me pull it up. I haven't got it in a while.
Yeah, wait a minute.
cmel9.wixsite.com/
You may have to spell that out. You need a better website, girl, but that's all right. That's all right. What is it? One more time.
cmel9, so CMELH, .wixsite.com.
How do you spell Wixsite? What's Wixsite?
WIXSITE. It's also linked in my bio on Instagram.
Okay, there you go. That's easier. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, Colleen, thank you so much for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood. I see a lot of good things in your future. I hope you never stop dancing. I hope you never stop choreographing. We're going to have to collaborate on something soon. That would be a lot of fun. And yeah, keep dancing and keep showing people what you do, because it's spreading joy and light, and that's what this world needs more of. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. On behalf of Colleen, a.k.a. Coco, myself, and Sam, we'll see you guys next week. Peace, love, and take care of yourselves. All right. We
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.